title of my talk today was The Garden of the Mind, and mainly we kind of came up with it really quickly because January we were talking about goal setting and what we're doing and how we're to create. And what I discover, a lot of people that come to see me very often have read a lot of books and they understand a lot of different things. And then I start talking about how do we create, how they create, where maybe they're not creating what they want, and how come. And it's like I realize we know that our mind is there. We know we have one, because we think. We also know that very often, at least it's pretty common, when I started saying this, by the way, a lot of what's common knowledge now was not common knowledge. So we know now in the subconscious, we're not always aware of what goes on in there. We're not aware of what happens. And this is why we talk about we have three elements to our mind. We have our conscious mind, which is when I look out and I see Destiny's blue here, Kayla's purple here with some green streaks, this person has some reddish hair, blonde hair, scarf on head. That's the consciousness being aware. The subconscious is huge. And what I was originally taught it, it's like a closed fist sitting on the world. Now the world's pretty big. And your fist is kind of tiny, especially if you're a tiny person. And it's sitting on top of that. And yeah, we think we're in command because we're aware of things. We're not aware of things. And then there's a third mind, and that is the superconscious. And that is that force that's out there that's working to get through to you. One of the things I learned from the tarot, actually, was that we needed to be in alignment with these different minds. We needed to be able to access the subconscious mind. Now, I will tell you, I spent a lot of years going there to dig out stuff and find stuff and release stuff and transform stuff so that I would have accessibility to that superconscious mind, but also to get this conscious mind of mine a little bit under control. I was a person who thought all the time. There were loads of mental thoughts going on all the time. And it wasn't until I began to realize that I needed to get a handle on what was going through my head. Because I have a vibration, as we all do. We're all energy. Would we agree with that? That we're all made up of energy?
Yes.
There's space in here, even though it doesn't look like it. But chairs have space in them. Actually, I found that very scientific fact very interesting, that every molecule, no matter how big it is, or how tiny, has an equal amount of space, which I believe is 99.9% of space. And yet we think of it as solid. And that's why people put their hands through boards or running and things like that. Because you talk to the space. Anyway, I don't want to get myself sidetracked because I can't get back always as quickly as I used to. The process of the aging process sometimes. So I decided to begin to take a look at what was going on in my life and begin to observe what was happening in my mind. See, I'm not a gardener because I've spent a lot of my life working. I was a gardener a little bit at the time. My dad definitely was a gardener. In fact, he would feed the local neighborhood when he retired with vegetables and always have a beautiful flower garden. But I was always too busy. Between my kids, my career, work, it was like gardening. I'll just have some pretty flowers. And people who come to my place see that. I like flowers, and I have flowers in the summer. But I do them a very easy way. I buy pots and put them in other pots. So they're there already. But our mind is like a garden. And I do know enough that if you are a gardener, you weed. And you prune. And you cut back here or there so it grows more. Or you weed those things out that you don't want. So when I began to look at how was I observing my world, like what was going on back here? So I used driving, which I don't always recommend unless you're kind of like me and do two things at the same time. Watching television. Because you must remember, I was really busy in those days. took the time when I could to begin to see what my ticket taper in my head was, what the thoughts were coming from the subconscious up, how they were running across my mind here. Because it's here is where the verse vibration will go out in order to create. So what I began to find was I did not always think of things that supported me or support other people. In fact, I used to often think I wasn't good enough, I didn't really deserve this, what was I going to do about that? A lot of worry thoughts. Oh man, I learned that from my mother, by the way. Loads of worry thoughts. So then I had to teach myself how to begin to change that. The original element of that is written up in my Secrets for Living Happily book. I kind of streamlined it even such thing to make it even more simple to understand. But it's like we need, first of all, to have a conscious awareness of who and how we want our lives to be. How do we want to show up? How do we want to, and what do we want to create? We need to be very clear of that. And then, when we begin to observe, when we find we have a thought that is not supportive of the goal. Now, I do not recommend that you have 200 goals. You pick one. Work one by one. It's much quicker and easier. But you have a thought that does not support with the goal that you've decided that you're working on. That's the weed. That's what you've got to pull out. And as you, and how I suggest one does this, is, and people who've been to Wednesday nights know this really well, I talk about it, you freeze that thought, you evaporate the thought, and you put in the end result you want. Not just a replacement thought that's a little better, but the goal that you're wanting. And what you're doing at that moment is you're telling your subconscious, this is what I want. Because up until now, you've been telling it you wanted the other. Does it mean you just do that one time? No. You'll have that thought regenerating a lot, because there's a couple things one has to also figure out. Is it a random thought? Or does it belong to a bigger, deeper program that you run in relation to your life? Now, if you keep having it, you know there's a bigger issue. And that's a deeper work that you can do. So it gives you a really good understanding of where you're at and the consciousness of your mind. And you're beginning to become more and more aware. Now, unlike everybody, do you think I do this 24/7 all the time? No. I get my life going really nicely. And then I kind of forget, right? Because everything's going nice. And then all of a sudden, things don't begin to work quite as easily. Something's not quite... Well, so now I know, go back here and look here, because I've gotten lazy. And in getting lazy, I picked up some other thought forms that are running around out there, because we do not exist on this planet alone. And you've heard of now the collective consciousness, that there are thoughts out there that are rampant. And if you're not careful, what happens? And especially if you're super sensitive, or in one of those absorbing people, the next thing you know, you're thinking the thoughts like everybody else. You're just regurgitating again. And so that's why it's really important to take time. Some people take a certain time a week. I tend to, when I realize that, I tend to watch it pretty well. When I'm really not happy with what's going on with my thinking, I pretty well do it off and on during the day when I can. But the thing to realize is that you're the driver. I was funny, I was thinking this morning about what I was going to say today, because I never really know, and in some ways, what I'm going to talk about. About a topic, yes. And I was given this image. And the image was of the old horse and cart. Now, my parents, I'm from New Zealand, if you didn't know already, my parents did all their courting on horseback. And they had horse and carts all my older sisters growing up like. I remember when we got our first car, and I was born in 44. So we were like years behind everybody else. So it's not wasn't unusual for me to see a horse and cart. But then what was instructed to me as I was thinking about this horse and cart business is that the rider in the car has the reins to the horse. That's your conscious, that's you and your conscious mind. The horse is basically pulling the cart that you sit upon. It's the puller. That's your feelings, that's your emotions. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. So here you are in your car going somewhere. What are you doing? And how are you steering your cart? Is your cart going to the destination you want? Is the horse on a road that's really easy to maybe canter with or walk or whatever it needs to do? How is that? Because it is pulling you and the cart with it. And we know that it's not easy when something has got movement to stop on a dime. And actually, just I have to laugh. This morning, I was coming out of my driveway, hitting the road, and I was coming to the light that I had at the end of my road, and I put my brake on it, and it was like my car did a nosedive. Like, what? It was like, and my car kind of buckled under this erratic stop. And I thought, and then I found my car had shifted into neutral, and it was like, I'm going, what's going on here? Do you think I was paying attention to my driving? No, I was doing it on automatic, and how much do we do on automatic? So then I thought about this, I thought, you know, in the last wee while, my car has been a little, I've noticed that, it's kind of a little chargy, which is nice, a lot of pep, which I like, but it's a bit harsh on the brake, it's quick. So I touched the mode. I was in sport mode. So guess what I did? I put it back to normal. You see, sometimes these things happen and we're not aware that it's happening until we begin to, through our consciousness, aware something isn't quite right here. Now, I said that there was around the car. But what's the car? To me, there are three main ways you're going to create your reality. Yeah, there's three. There's a couple of other things as well, but three. But day-to-day stuff. The first is how you think, which one the best. We've got to have that thought process that you work with in consciousness, not defensive. Most of us run defensive programs in there. We don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to be hurt. We don't want to. We're going to have defenses going on one way or the other. Another one, imagination. Let's take this and make this big and beautiful. Of course, everything is just wonderful. It's fantastic. With maybe, like me, what I found that I had a cucumber I needed to throw away in the fridge. It wasn't all fantastic in my fridge. I thought I'd thrown everything away that needed to be, and I missed something. So what we've got in our thinking, we have to be really conscious of what it is we're really thinking. Now, the second thing are these feelings that we get. Now, it took me many, many years to realize we feel fear, right? There's so many levels of fear. There's the big fear where you really know that you're locked into something fear thing. And sometimes, yeah, I'm not saying we don't have some things we need to be maybe fearful of, but if we run fear in our lives, guarantee we'll bring it. I'll get to that in a sec. The second thing with signs of fear is that it's the main thing actually. From fear is a product of the mind going, what about whispering almost? What about this? And maybe that'll happen. And then what will you do if this takes place? And so now we've got all the emotion beginning to stir. And now people can think, oh, this is an emotional issue. It's really a mental issue. Because the mind's in there going, took me years to figure that out. And I mean years. A lot more years than it needed to, but it did. And then when I realized that, because the power that you have in your emotions to go with what you are wanting to create, that's where you put your energy. But guess where we put our energy? When we're upset. Ever been angry lately? Think how much power you have there. Sometimes when I was doing my prosperity workshops, I would have people, remember when you were last angry. Now I want you to clean the anger out, but keep the passion. Because you know, anger without all that stuff in it is passion. Now take that energy and fire it into your goals. Because we want energy, we want enthusiasm. We want get up and go because it makes us feel good. It brings about a huge sense of direction. So these emotions, which very often I find people who come to see me have a lot of judgment about their feelings because they've been angry or frustrated or whatever, and someone has told them that wrong. But they're your feelings. And the way I teach that is that your feelings is your body's way of talking to you. It's telling you, you don't like this. This is not what you need. And you go, oh, I can't feel that. My hardest word, and some of you have heard me say this before, was hatred. Because my mother had said, you cannot hate anybody. And as my sweet little mother, who never, I never heard her ask anything lately, I never heard her ask for anything. But boy, she, oh, there was. She wanted me to get married when I was living with somebody. Not a good piece of advice, by the way. I was, you know, trying to figure out all my feelings and accept them, and they're mine, and they're telling me something. What are they telling me? Hatred. Oh, hatred. What? She goes, I'm not supposed to feel hatred, but I do sometimes. So I said, okay, what does hatred really mean to me? And what I boiled down to, it meant, I didn't look after it in a dictionary, I was figuring this out myself. It means, meant to me, avidly dislike. So the next thought was, well, what do I avidly dislike? Brussels sprouts. At that time, I did not like Brussels sprouts. And yet I had to eat them every Christmas, Easter, and whatever, right? But I really hated those things. And for many years, I didn't have a Brussels sprouts. I will eat one or two now. But what it did was got me over the judgment that I had on myself for being feeling, hey, oh, I hate this. But it's only temporary. It's an emotion that comes up and says, you avidly dislike this, get out of here. This is not for you. But you see, when we don't accept our feelings, we're being rationalized. It's okay. It's okay. We don't let it be. There's something wrong that you feel about. May I ask you to get that glass of water from me? Thanks. My throat's getting dry here, so I just want to have a little sip of water. Thank you. Because we're going to move on a bit. So, okay, we've got the mind working. We're now being aware we've got these feelings working. So what's the third thing? The third thing is how we respond. Do we respond defensively? Do we respond imaginatively? Do we shut down and go away like I used to? What do we do? Because that sets everything up, really. How we respond in a day-to-day way is going to set up how your life is going to look and work. But you can't just go and look at one thing without the other. Because remember the horse and the cart. You've got the reins. The horse is pulling you and your programming, which is the bigger element. And programming tends to come from decisions that you made at some point in time, when you made a decision about this and that. And that's a story for another day, because it's really very much the importance. So what I had also put on my talk description is I'm going to talk about the garden of the mind, which is weeding and pruning and making sure that you're really thinking and you're in alignment with that superconscious for what you want. Because when things are not, when they're off, just before, I'll tell you how to find out they're off. Just before Christmas, I went to get a parking spot. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the first things you learn when you're starting to study is how to create a parking space. I don't usually have any problems with a parking. I don't even think about it anymore. There's always a parking space. So I get to, I think I was going to Shoppers Drug Man and Safeway, and there's the pub. No space. What do you mean there's no space? I always have a space. So I'm driving around to find a space way off where I want. I go, see, that's the first signal to me. Something's not right here. Where are you off kilter? So then, that began to happen throughout the week. Things missed, appointments gone weird, people phoning and canceling, people phoning and canceled all the appointments. What's going on? So I had to sit down and do a little internal inventory. What was I thinking? How was I responding?
And how was I reacting? I mean, I'm responding internally to my emotion. And how was I reacting to all of that? And I had some big changes all of a sudden thrown at me. I wasn't assimilating well. My brain had gone into some... You know how a cat looks when all of a sudden they get electrocuted and all their fur stays out? I was not... I was kind of overwhelmed and not sure. And the plans kept changing and... Then I was told I wasn't really good with change and I should smarten up a bit and all that. And I was like, and then all of a sudden I went to my higher self type thing that people talk about, my inner authentic beingness, and said, you know, everything always works out. What are you doing? It took me about a day to clear out some weeds, do a little pruning over here and some programming I hadn't had to look at for a long time. And everything came back in the center. I go look for my pocket space. There it is. Things then fall into income. Appointments started coming in again. I began to feel like I was contributing to the world. You will tell yourself consistently where you are in relation to your life. Metaphysically, we talk about the outside reflects the inside. And that's what we do, is we go inside to find out how come that outside is not reflecting exactly what we want. So in the demonstration part here, what I wanted to do is I'm going to lead you through a little visualization. And in the visualization, I think we're going to work on, because it's still the beginning of the year, just something that you, how you would lead your life to be, or something that you would want in your life that you don't have. And then I'm going to ask you to pick some numbers, which I want you to hold in your mind. So that when I come, and then I'll see who really wants to get a message. And then when I come to you, you're going to give me those three numbers. Okay? You good? Okay, so I want you to close your eyes and take a breath. I just want you to imagine that you're creating what you want. How would it feel if you were having exactly what you wanted? How does it feel inside? What's the outside like? And just kind of just generally think, maybe there's nothing you need to add. What you want is right there. You just have to step into it. Or maybe there's some other things that you need to do. So what I want you to do, I want you to take a breath and I want you to think of three numbers between 1 and 22. A breath, three numbers between 1 and 22. Okay? And so then we'll start on the second part. Thank you. Now I'm just going to turn this off too.